So we're continuing today the preparation for Gaur Purnima. We discussed the wonderful, immeasurable value of devotee association, and we discussed ethics a little bit, and today we'll discuss the teachings of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and I think tomorrow we'll discuss the glories of the holy name that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu so munificently gave us in this age. So the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, of course, are vast, but we chose a verse. It's written by Srinath Chakravarti, a personality we don't hear too much about. Srinath Chakravarti was a branch of the tree of Gadadhar Pandit, who's a member of the Panchatattva. And he had a disciple. He's probably more known for his disciple. Kavi Kanarpur was his disciple, who wrote the Gauraganadesh Deepika. In the Gauraganadesh Deepika, the personalities that appeared with Lord Chaitanya are identified as personalities who also appeared with Lord Krishna. So it's a very famous book. Prabhupada quotes it very often. Kavi Kanarpur, this disciple of the person who authored this verse that we're reading today, he met Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he was just 7 years old in Puri. His father was Shivananda Sen. Shivananda Sen used to organize every year the devotees to come from Bengal to Puri to have the darshan of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for 4 months and also participate in Rath Yatra. And Shivananda Sen, the father of Kavi Kanarpur, would organize the trip from Bengal to Orissa. He was expert at that. And so 1 year he brought his son, Kavi Kanarpur, who was 7 years old. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him, you know, please chant Hare Krishna. And the son wouldn't chant. He was silent. And Lord Chaitanya said, I've convinced thousands of people to chant, but I can't convince this 7-year-old boy to chant. So finally he spoke, Kavi Kanarpur. At that time he was known as Puridas. And he spoke a beautiful poetic prayer honoring Lord Chaitanya and Krishna. And everyone was amazed by this. So he's known as one of the greatest Vaishnav poets, acharyas. So his spiritual master is this Srinath Chakravarti, who wrote this verse that we're reading today. Prabhupada sometimes would quote this verse as containing the essence of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings. So it's quite a significant verse. It's in the meter of Srinivas Acharya's Sad Gostami Astikam. You may be familiar with that. Nana Shastra Vichara Naika Nipuno Sad Dharma Samstapako. So we'll try to recite it as best we can. Translation. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, the son of Nanda Maharaj, is to be worshipped along with his transcendental abode, Vrindavan. The most pleasing form of worship for the Lord is that which was performed by the gopis of Vrindavan. Srimad Bhagavatam is the spotless authority on everything, and pure love of God is the ultimate goal of life for all people. These statements, for which we have the highest regard, are the opinion of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we've divided this into 6 different teachings of the Lord. So we'll go through them one by one. Om Agyana Timurandasya Gananjana Salakaya Chaksur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Vanchakopa Turubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. So from this verse, we can see very clearly these 6 major teachings of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The first one is that of all beings that could be worshipped, the person to worship is Krishna. And that Krishna is not, there are so many people who may be named Krishna, But we're referring to Krishna, who is the son of Nanda Maharaj. And as Krishna is to be worshipped similarly, his place, the place that he chooses to appear, is also worshipable, Vrindavan. And of all those who worship Krishna, the gopis are the epitome, the best of all worshippers. To understand how to worship, we turn to the scriptures, especially Srimad Bhagavatam. And the goal of all this activity is to attain love, pure love for Krishna. So, at the end, this Srinath Chakravarti, in his Chaitanya Manjusha, Manjusha means treasure chest. So he had a commentary. This Srinath Chakravarti had a commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam, and within his commentary he put this treasure chest about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which is this verse that we've been reading. And he says, these statements for which we have the highest regard are the opinion of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So the first one is that Aradhyo Bhagavan, that Krishna is to be worshipped. So we understand, Prabhupada explains so beautifully in his introduction to Bhagavad Gita as it is, that by our nature we are servants. Everyone is a servant. That's the constitutional activity of the soul, is to serve. And if we look around us, we can see that practically in life, that the parents are serving the children, the students are serving the teacher, the owners of businesses are serving the customers, the employees are serving the employers. The whole life is made of service. And if we fail to serve teachers or parents or employers, then people get a dog and they serve the dog, because the nature is to serve. Or we serve the body, our own body. So this nature is to serve, and to serve means we're subordinate. We subordinate ourselves to the individual that we're serving. So that is our nature. Unfortunately, because of ignorance, we subordinate ourselves to people who are unworthy of being served. And because of that, we experience discouragement and misery and disappointment. That's a great flaw. This ignorance is a great flaw of this material world, and we're all immersed in ignorance by birth. And the spiritual master comes into our life to give us knowledge of who is worthy to be served. Who should we subordinate ourselves to? So it's a great lesson. It takes quite a bit of energy to actually imbibe it, because Maya is like a decoy. I was just reading about the missiles that are being sent to the Ukraine, and they can't be counteracted because each missile has a decoy with heat in it. And so when they send a missile to counteract the missile, it's diverted by this decoy. And so the offensive missile reaches its target. So Maya is like a decoy for us, that she makes us think, oh, if I worship this politician, I'll be happy. If I worship this entertainer, I'll be happy. If I worship this great athlete, I'll be happy. But we see that happiness is not derived from this worship. This is a decoy. These people may have charisma, they may have abilities, they may even want to do good in the world. But because there's no contact with Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, therefore, ultimately we become disappointed and we face unhappiness. So Krishna is saying, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying, worship Krishna. He is worthy of your worship. Bhagavan, he is full of all opulences. He has all wealth, all strength, all fame, all beauty, all knowledge. He's completely renounced. So he is worthy of worship. And we find in the scriptures over and over again reasons to worship Krishna. He says that he is the creator of the material world and the spiritual world, that there is no truth superior to him. Everything rests on him as pearls rest on a thread. He says he's the source of the Brahman effulgence, which spreads everywhere. He's also within each of our hearts as Paramatma, as the Supersoul. And he's giving, from there, he's giving us knowledge and remembrance and forgetfulness. He's our guide. He's our conscience when we do something wrong. He's the one that's giving us that guilty conscience. So from all points of view, he is worthy of our worship. And then as far as our service in this world goes, we orient it around people who are also oriented around Bhagavan. And in that way, if we're serving our children and we're instructing them to worship Krishna, then that becomes also service to Bhagavan. So in that way, we can feel a sense of fulfillment and satisfaction in our lives, which is absent without including Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this is from the Madhya Lila, chapter 9, text 30. The word Krish is the attractive feature of the Lord's existence, and Na means spiritual pleasure. When the verb Krish is added to the affix Na, it becomes Krishna, which indicates the absolute truth. So besides all this vast opulence of the Lord, which is beyond our comprehension, the universes are emanating from pores in his body. He is completely beyond our ability to understand with our very limited senses and mind. But he's also supremely attractive. And so this is indicated by this his very name. He's the absolute truth, which is just so compellingly attractive by his qualities, by his activities, by his form, by his characteristics. So in this way we can be encouraged that not only are we overwhelmed by his omnipotence, his greatness that's unfathomable, but also he's just so sweet, such a sweet personality. And he responds to each of his devotees individually according to their mood of love, which is also an extremely attractive feature. So that is the first major lesson that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is teaching. And then we have this second one, Varisha Tanayas. Raja refers to Vrindavan. Isha, the king. The king of Vrindavan is Krishna's father, foster father, Nanda Maharaj. And he is the son, Tanaya, the son of Nanda Maharaj. And so, as I was saying, there are many people that can have the name Krishna. But we want to worship the Krishna who is the son of Nanda Maharaj. He's called Nanda Nandana. And then Andana part of it, Nanda of course refers to his father, and Andana means he gives pleasure. Nanda Nandana is Krishna who gives pleasure to his father. So Krishna is very pleased because he's reciprocating with the love of his devotees. He's very pleased to be called a name that's in relation to his devotees, like Partha Sarathi, the driver of the chariot of Arjuna, or Yasoda Nandana, one who gives pleasure to Mother Yasoda. This gives him great pleasure. And Nanda Maharaj is not an ordinary personality, but he has done incredible activities to have Krishna as his son. And so, because of Krishna reciprocating with the love of Nanda Maharaj, he's very pleased to be associated with him. And also it's explained, Prabhupada explains, that if we can please Nanda Maharaj, we will also please Krishna. Krishna is pleased when his servants are pleased. So we can aspire also to please Krishna's servants, which is the principle behind pleasing the spiritual master also. So we have some verses here. The Krishna known as Yadu Kumar is Vasudev Krishna. He is different from the Krishna who is the son of Nanda Maharaj. Yadu Kumar Krishna manifests his pastimes in the cities of Mathura and Dwarka. But Krishna, the son of Nanda Maharaj, never at any time leaves Vrindavan. This is very mystical because we know from Krishna book that Akrura came at the behest of Kamsa to take Krishna from Vrindavan to Mathura. And when he did so, he was condemned by the gopis. They said Akrura means not cruel, but he is so cruel that he's taking Krishna from our midst. And Krishna left Vrindavan to fight with so many opponents. And yet here we see that Krishna, the son of Nanda Maharaj, never at any time leaves Vrindavan. So how do we explain that apparent contradiction? Does anyone have any thoughts about that? Please.
So he was present in Vrindavan in his bhav manifestation?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the gopis' love for him and his other devotees' love for Krishna was so intense that there was no way that he could leave. So he remained there, captured by their love. And yet, in another form, another as Vasudeva Krishna, he leaves to do his pastimes in Mathura and Dwarka and on the battle of Kurukshetra. So this is a prayer from Raghupati Upadhyaya. Those who are afraid of material existence worship the Vedic literature. Some worship Smriti, the corollaries to the Vedic literature, and others worship the Mahabharata. As far as I am concerned, I worship Krishna's father, Maharaj Nanda, in whose courtyard the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Absolute Truth, is playing. This is also from the Madhya Leela of Chaitanya Charitamrita, 1996. So, in other words, according again to the devotee's taste, though some are afraid of material existence and they look to God, they look to the Supreme, to be protected from all the suffering that material existence offers. And so for that reason, they turn to spiritual life, to religion. Some are very interested in the rituals performed that are explained in the Smriti and the Shruti of the Vedic literature. And they want to do pious activities to elevate themselves to higher planets. But this Raghupati Upadhyaya, he simply wants to worship Nanda Maharaj because Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is playing in his courtyard like an ordinary child. So that's his mood of devotion. And as I was saying, if we can please Nanda Maharaj, we will certainly also please Nanda Nandana, Lord Krishna. So the third part of these teachings, so we establish that Krishna is worshipable and it's not any Krishna, but it's the Krishna of Vrindavan. So also, this is a very important point, Tadama, his abode, Vrindavan, is also worshipable. That it's described that Krishna's place is non-different from Krishna. That Vrindavan is an extraordinary place. And even an innocent person who goes to Vrindavan can experience the spirituality of that place. We had occasion where in the 70s, Giriraj, the famous Giriraj, who is now a Swami, at that time he was a Brahmachari, he brought his parents to Vrindavan. And his father was a lawyer who was very wealthy. And he offered Giriraj $1 million to give up devotional service, give up his service to Prabhupada, and do some material activities. And Giriraj refused. Prabhupada was very proud of him. But at one point, he brought his parents to Vrindavan. And even they're religious people, but in a mundane way, but they experienced the effect of Vrindavan on themselves. And I can also say personally that Prabhupada somehow or other instructed me and my then boyfriend, now husband, to go to Vrindavan many years ago. And I entered Vrindavan as an atheist and I left Vrindavan as a theist. It had such a profound effect on me. It took a month. but it was quite something. So Vrindavan is not an ordinary place. It's imbued with the spirituality of Krishna himself. And those who go there just as innocent people will experience that, experience the potency of Vrindavan. And therefore, Prabhupada arranged during his time that every year his followers would go to Mayapur and Vrindavan to become spiritually rejuvenated and then return to their respective places with that spiritual rejuvenation to preach with renewed enthusiasm and conviction. So it's very important. But the idea is that anything connected with Krishna is spiritualized. Not just his abode, but this, like Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he first went to Vrindavan, it was simply an open field. And he instructed his followers to establish temples there. Madan Mohan Temple by Sanatana Goswami, Rupa Goswami, the Radha Govinda Temple. In this way, now Vrindavan has 5,000 temples. But the temple also is Krishna's place. And it's also spiritual. Just like Prabhupada established this temple, Bhaktivedanta Manor. This temple is also non-different from Krishna. One should not think, oh, the person who's dressing the deity is serving Krishna and I'm cleaning the floor of the temple. That is non-different. Any service done in this temple is service for the pleasure of Krishna, for the pleasure of Prabhupada. This is also Krishna's abode. So it's never to be neglected. It's always to be honored as Krishna's place and maintained as Krishna's place so that we appreciate it for Krishna's pleasure and those who come also. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokula Nanda. Jai Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman. Jai Shri Shri Gornitai. Jai Srila Prabhupada. So this is a very important point. It's called Tadiyanam. That which is related to Krishna is also has this spiritual potency and also is to be honored for Krishna's pleasure. Speaking in the mood of Srimati Radharani, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "For most people, the mind and heart are one, but because my mind is never separated from Vrindavan, I consider my mind and Vrindavan to be one. My mind is already Vrindavan, and since you, like Vrindavan, will you please place your lotus feet there? I would deem that your full mercy." This is from Madhya Lila also. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself went to Vrindavan. And that was to establish the importance of Vrindavan. But in one sense, there was no need for him to go. As you see here from this verse, his mind was always in Vrindavan. His mind was non-different from Vrindavan. That is also what we need to aspire for, always be immersed in Vrindavan consciousness. But he went to Vrindavan to establish the importance of Vrindavan. In this age of Kali, the holy name of the Lord, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, is the incarnation of Lord Krishna. Simply by chanting the holy name, one associates with the Lord directly. Anyone who does this is certainly delivered. So just as Krishna's place is non-different from him, Krishna's name is also non-different from him. This is the principle behind our chanting of the Maha Mantra, to associate with the Lord through this chanting. And similarly, Krishna's instructions, the Bhagavad Gita, his instructions of his followers, devotees in Srimad Bhagavatam, this is also non-different from Krishna. If we absorb ourselves in these instructions, we will find ourselves purified and attracted to Krishna, coming closer to him. As stated in the Bhagavatam, by regular attendance in the Bhagavatam classes and by rendering service to the pure devotees, all that is inauspicious in the heart is destroyed almost to nil, and thus loving service unto the transcendental personality of Godhead is established as an irrevocable fact. So this is the same principle of Tadiyanam. That which is associated or related to Krishna also has the potency to purify us, to bring us closer to Krishna, like his holy names, which are non-different from him, like his beautiful form, his instructions. By studying his instructions and remembering them and especially applying them, we can find ourselves coming closer and closer to Krishna, which is the goal of life. The selfsame Lord Krishna advented himself as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with all his eternal associates who are also equally glorious. So just as we're speaking about the temple being spiritualized, the instructions being spiritual, the Dham is spiritual, so also the associates, the devotees of Lord Krishna, are also divine personalities whom we offer our respects to, And by pleasing them, we can come closer to Krishna, which is why we worship the spiritual master, why we honor the associates of Lord Chaitanya, because they have the potency to purify our hearts and to benedict us with Krishna's mercy. And once we have Krishna's mercy, we will feel more and more attracted to him. This is the power of association, the power of the holy name. Therefore, his associates, the Lord's associates, are equally glorious with the Lord. So this is the principle of Tadiyanam. Lord Shiva told the goddess Durga, "My dear Devi, the worship of Lord Vishnu is topmost. However, above the worship of Lord Vishnu is worship of and rendering of service to anything that is related to Lord Vishnu." Just like every morning we worship Tulsi Devi. Why do we worship Tulsi Devi? There are so many millions of plants in the world, and that Tulsi Devi is very dear to Lord Krishna, that he accepts the food that's offered to him once it has a Tulsi leaf on it. So therefore, Tulsi is put on his lotus feet also, and that pleases him. So because Tulsi is dear to Krishna, therefore we worship her, and we also hope to become dear to Krishna. This is our goal. And we come to the fourth principle of Lord Chaitanya's teachings explained in this verse. Ramya kascha upasana rajavadu varga virya kalpita. That Ramya is pleasing. That which is pleasing is the process of worship offered by the gopis of Vrindavan. This group of devotees, they are the epitome of love for Krishna. So we understand we're supposed to worship Krishna, the son of Nanda Maharaj. We're supposed to honor his place, Vrindavan. And we can wonder, well, how to do this? So we follow in the footsteps of the gopis of Vrindavan as the best of all worshippers of Krishna. The gopis of Vrindavan, they gave uninterrupted, unmotivated service to Krishna, that to the point they would leave everything for Krishna's pleasure. They left their children, they left their husbands, they left their respectable position in society. Simply, without a moment's interruption, Krishna was constantly in their minds, constantly thinking how to please him, how to please him. So it's an extremely high standard. But by seeing the standard, we can see what we are to aspire towards, the mentality of the gopis of Vrindavan. So this is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu speaking in the mood of Radharani, so we can get some hint of the mentality, extraordinary mentality of the gopis. "I do not mind my personal distress. I only wish for the happiness of Krishna, for his happiness is the goal of my life. However, if he feels great happiness in giving me distress, that distress is the best of my happiness." A very extraordinary prayer, beyond what we can understand in the normal course of events. But nonetheless, we can see the exalted nature of the gopis' love for Krishna, how completely selfless it is, how completely focused on Krishna, and it was also uninterrupted. It wasn't that it came and went, but it was there throughout. Again, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu speaking in the mood of Radharani, "Krishna is my life and soul. Krishna is the treasure of my life. Indeed, Krishna is the very life of my life. I therefore keep him always in my heart and try to please him by rendering service. That is my constant meditation." So the fifth part, you know, we can understand Krishna is worshipable, and this Krishna is related to Nanda Maharaj. His place is worshipable. We understand the process of worshipping him is to follow in the footsteps of the gopis. So now we need some scripture to instruct us how to do this, how to follow in the footsteps of the gopis and honor Krishna and his place. And that, of course, is Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam is the spotless Purana. It means there is nothing material in it. Everything material is kicked out. Dharma, artha, kama, moksha means sense gratification, religious activities, material desires, the desire for liberation. All these things are rejected by the Srimad Bhagavatam because the Srimad Bhagavatam is oriented simply towards giving us love for Krishna. So therefore it's called the spotless Purana. And it was given to us by the incarnation of Vyasadeva, Veda Vyas. He's the literary incarnation of Krishna. And so he gave us this Bhagavatam to guide us how to understand Krishna and come closer to him and follow in the footsteps of the gopis. This is the great gift of Veda Vyas. And so Prabhupada has arranged that we study this regularly, this great source of knowledge. And in this way we can attain Krishna's mercy. He'll be pleased. Actually, by our own efforts, we cannot reach Krishna, but we reach him when we derive his mercy upon us. It's his mercy that will enable us to come closer to him. And so by studying the Bhagavatam, by chanting his names, by honoring his followers, this will evoke Krishna's mercy, and we can come closer and closer to him. And then the final part of these teachings is that prema pumartho mahan, that we want to attain pure love for Krishna. That is the goal of life for all people, the ultimate goal of life for all people. So to keep this in mind always is not really about religious observances. It's about attaining pure love for Krishna. The religious observances are meant to bring us to that point, that we don't want to get caught up in rituals, but we want to always remember the rituals are there to enhance our devotion, to enhance our desire to please Krishna. This is actually the goal. And if we can keep that in mind and honor each other and honor Krishna's place, then surely we will make rapid progress and really experience the pleasure of Krishna and feel rewarded by that pleasure. May the Supreme Lord, who is known as the son of Srimati Sachidevi, be transcendentally situated in the innermost cores, in the innermost chambers of your heart, resplendent with the radiance of molten gold. He has appeared in the age of Kali by his causeless mercy to bestow what no incarnation has ever offered before, the most sublime and radiant mellow of devotional service, the mellow of conjugal love. Hare Krishna. So perhaps there's some comments or points to raise, reflections about these thoughts derived from this verse by Srinath Chakravarti. Please.
Thank you for pulling out all these lovely verses. This verse is that you spoke on, it's very puzzling verse from a number of points of view. For example, you have the version you have is, I just discovered as it was on the board that the version you have is what's in Prabhupada's lectures. But then there's another version of this verse. And also there's some confusion about the author. Some people say Srinath Chakravarti is the same person as Vishwanath Chakravarti, and I'm not sure if that's true or not. So it's kind of, the author's kind of a little bit mysterious, and the version of the verse is kind of a different version, so it's kind of interesting. I don't know if you have any thoughts on that.
Well, the Srinath Chakravarti is mentioned in the Chaitanya Charitamrita as being a branch of the tree of Gadadhar. And it's also mentioned that he's the spiritual master of Kanikanapur. And the source that I had said that he was the author of this verse. So I haven't read that he's the same personality as Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Where did you see that?
If you just Google it, that's what comes up sometimes.
Oh, Google.
Okay.
Okay. Okay, I don't know. I haven't seen that.
And it's Chaitanya Mata Manjusha, Chaitanya Manjusha. Anyway, there's so many. Even the name of the scripture that comes from has got different names. So.
Oh, really? Okay. I wasn't aware of the controversy. Yet another controversy.
Well, I don't think it's really a controversy, but anyway.
Okay. Alternative opinions, whatever.
Yeah.
Thank you for the class, Maharaj. My question is about Bhagavan. If Bhagavan is specifically Krishna's original transcendental form, or if like Krishna's expansions can also be called Bhagavan, in terms of the personality of Godhead, if it's only limited to Krishna's original form.
Mm. No, Bhagavan, the word Bhagavan means one who is full of all opulences, and it refers to the six opulences that Krishna has. But we find also that great personalities are also called Bhagavan sometimes, like Narada Muni in the Srimad Bhagavatam is sometimes addressed as Bhagavan because he is exhibiting so many of the qualities of Bhagavan. And the others also who are exalted devotees are also sometimes addressed as Bhagavan. But the original supreme personality of Godhead, Krishna, is also the ultimate supreme Bhagavan. Please.
It was interesting. I heard it was a letter from Prabhupada, and it talked about these different opinions, you know, of acharyas and such. But actually, whether way of worship, whatever we do, there are so many different opinions, but as long as they all culminate in Krishna, he says that there is no controversy. It's just a fact that different acharyas would have different points of view, but as long as we can't say right or wrong, he certainly, and apparently there was a dispute between, I think, Yamuna Devi Dasi and maybe Tamakrishna Goswami, something like that. But he said, you're both right. Because you're all talking about Krishna. And so, you know, so it was a unifying letter, actually. Yes, you're both right. Yeah, and I thought that was nice. It was a nice letter. Which I've got, if anybody wants. Hare Krishna.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Thank you for the class. I just wondered when you mentioned that Sri Chakravarti was a branch of Gadadhar. I know the Srila Prabhupada explains this in Chaitanya Charitamrita, but I forgot. So maybe you can remind us our lineage. How is it described as a part of Lord Chaitanya's tree? Our lineage of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Jagannath Babaji, Vishwanatha Chakravarti, Baladev Vidyabhushan, etc. The words in Lord Chaitanya's tree, like direct from Lord Chaitanya. Do you understand the question?
That you wanted a description of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's tree.
Yeah, and then where do we fit in?
We as ISKCON.
As ISKCON, yes. Yeah. Prophet.
Yeah, it's described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. The analogy is there that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is like the has established this tree, and there are many strong branches. Like Nityananda Prabhu had so many followers. And then they would create other followers, similarly Advaita Acharya, similarly Gadadhar, who is, from one point of view, related to the author of this verse that we read today. So Lord Prabhupada also says that ISKCON is another branch of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's tree. And so in ISKCON we find there's so many, based on Srila Prabhupada's foundation, there's so many now spiritual masters accepting disciples who are part of this branch of the tree of ISKCON. So in that way, all of us are part of this branch that is established by Lord Chaitanya, and then so many varieties to it. Is that what you were referring to?
Yeah, of course, direct disciples of Lord Chaitanya were Goswamis, and then from the Goswamis, like specific personalities that are connected. Do you understand the question? It was just more like a curious question if we have information.
Yeah, well, we have the list of disciplic succession in Bhagavad Gita at the end of the introduction. Prabhupada gives the list and he names the Goswamis, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur and so forth, his spiritual master, his spiritual, you know, this parampara that we follow. Yes, oh yes. We're all part of it. Yeah. So many branches.
Can you explain something? I mean, if ISKCON and all our parampara, including the six Goswamis, everybody is one branch, who are the other branches that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu established?
Well, there's Nityananda Prabhu had a branch, and unfortunately it became, I could say, diverted, the Nityananda Vamsa, that they decided, because Nityananda Prabhu, unlike Lord Chaitanya, he had offspring. He was married, he had two wives. And so they started to have this idea that you could only be born in the Nityananda Vamsa to be qualified. And it became a great fight between Prabhupada's spiritual master, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and these so-called followers of Nityananda. They wanted to preserve their prestigious position, and they didn't want to recognize that people who were not born Brahmins could become Brahmins by qualification, which was a very important aspect of the teachings of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, based on Lord Chaitanya's teachings and based on Krishna's teachings. So at one point there was a great fight, and even his life was threatened, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, by these invested Brahmanas. But he became victorious. It's described in the Nectar of Devotion that this occurred. So, yeah, there's other branches that perhaps are not as vibrant as we're very fortunate to be in the branch. The preaching is the essence, and we want to offer this to others. And by offering it to others, preaching is another tadiyanam. It's connected to Krishna, and therefore it's purifying for us to repeat Krishna's words. So by doing this with each other and by doing it also with non-devotees, then we become purified, and that makes a very vibrant, vigorous portion of this tree of Lord Chaitanya, which we can all take shelter of and relish also.
But all the other branches, even the non-vibrant ones, do they also propagate pure love of Godhead, Lord Chaitanya's doctrine? Or like, you know, the Sahajiyas, the Nagari, what's the name of all those? They are out of that tree. They are not part of this tree. Am I correct?
Yeah, Asampradaya. Okay.
So the other, the branches, are they like in good standing, or they are deviated when you say not vibrant? Or what? Because when we go to the Holy Dham, and we visit different places, and we know that ISKCON right now is the most vibrant of all the branches of Lord Chaitanya's tree, because it's so actively. But just to avoid making offenses, how should we think of all these other branches? And there's so many sadhus, and so...
Yeah, that's a good question.
Thank you.
In the 70s, Prabhupada advised us to stay at Krishna Balaram Temple and not to wander out except to take darshan of the seven major temples in Vrindavan. because he was very cautious that we could be diverted by people that were not following strictly or had in some way polluted the pure message of Krishna. So I think that's still valid today, that we want to offer respects certainly to all the people that are chanting Hare Krishna. And we want to offer respects certainly to the Dham and to the wonderful temples in the Dham. But we must be very cautious to fully imbibe Prabhupada's teachings so that when we hear things that are not in accord with those teachings, we can know to take a step back respectfully, but to take a step back and to be amongst people who are trying to understand purely those teachings. It's very, very easy to be diverted. This is the age of diversion and the age, of course, of cheating and hypocrisy and all other things. So I think it's a responsibility of each and every one of us to really become thoroughly familiar with Prabhupada's teachings, to know when something is not quite right so that we can say Hare Krishna and be with people that we can openly share with. That's critical, really, for the preservation of our own spiritual life. Is that okay?
Thank you. It's also wonderful answer, and it's perfect actually that we talk about is when we read Srila Prabhupada's teachings and we understand what Srila Prabhupada says, then we are very protected from deviating. And so when we meet the other sadhus from the other branches, you said we have to be very respectful. But in our hearts, we know that we are followers of Srila Prabhupada. Thank you
Thank
so
you.
Much.
Yeah. So there's three verses in the 10th chapter of Adi Lila, which very much describe our conversation. So if I just read them, it all makes sense. On the western side were the 43rd, 44th, and 45th branches, Sri Sanatan, Sri Rupa, and Anupam. They were the best of all. Next verse. Among these branches, Rupa and Sanatan were principal. Anupam, Jiva, Goswami, and others headed by Rajendra were their sub-branches. And the next verse is just astonishing. The translation Prabhupada gives. It's text number 86. By the will of the Supreme Gardener, the branches of Srila Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami grew many times over, expanding throughout the western countries and covering the entire region. So obviously, that's Prabhupada's translation. So he's obviously said that Rupa and Sanatan Goswami branches, which is what 43rd and 44th seem to be the ones that we're in. But then again, he said Jiva's Goswami's another branch, so maybe we're in that branch as well. So I don't know.
Thank you. Thank you so much for your attention and your enthusiasm. All glories to His Divine Grace, Sesi Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Hare Krishna.